This is an audio archive edition of Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Delegate Steve Landis joins us on the long line from Augusta County. You are in Augusta County, right?
I am today, yes.
There you go. God's country. There you go. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking some time out to join us and chat with us. Are you into the space shuttle and the space station like I am?
Yes, I'm a. I remember growing up watching the old Apollo missions as a little boy, and I think they used to have those go off on Saturday mornings. I remember getting up and watching those, and following the space program, and now watching the shuttles when I can.
Cool. You know, my parents actually were at the moon launch down at Cape Canaveral, and I don't remember what flight it was. I should, but it was the launch that went to the moon, and they were actually there and saw that live down in Florida.
Well, things have really changed, but hopefully we'll be going back to the moon or maybe even Mars one of these days.
That would be absolutely. I totally agree. We should be planning for that and pushing for that. How was your 4th, my friend?
I had a good 4th. I was actually in Albemarle County on Saturday at the Crozet Parade, and then was in Stanton for the 4th of July parade there, and got a chance to meet a lot of constituents from both sides of the mountain.
Oh, great. Well, you were moving around then.
Tried to.
I guess that's what elected official is. 4th of July is a working day.
It is, but it's also a good day to celebrate with all of our friends and family, our independence, and remember our founding fathers and the Declaration of Independence. It was a great day.
Absolutely. Steve, remind folks exactly where your district is, because even though you do live over the mountains, your district reaches into Albemarle County.
That's correct. I represent three precincts of Albemarle County, the Crozet precincts, Yellow Mountain, and the Whitehall area.
Oh, there you go. So a lot of western Albemarle County then.
Exactly.
A good portion of it. So now that we have a budget, tell us about this process, because I know you were directly involved in helping to usher in some type of compromise and get this horse across the finish line. Tell us what it was like there down on the front line trying to get to a compromise budget.
Well, obviously, like many folks, I think many in the legislature were disappointed it took us so long. But once we got over the hurdle of separating out the issue of transportation and having that separated from the budget, the process moved along fairly quickly. And from the House standpoint, another concern was embedding tax increases as part of the budget. As most people know, the Founding Fathers and the state constitution has made it very clear over the years that taxes should be standalone legislation that are approved by both houses, signed by the governor, and then the budget just do the appropriating, if you will, of those revenues that are collected from the taxpayer and then used for various government services. And we're able to continue that tradition and get over that hurdle. The Senate initially had embedded, if you will, tax increases in their budget, and that's just from a procedural and a constitutional standpoint was just not something we could allow for future precedent. And once we got over that hurdle and then separating out transportation, coming back to deal with that later, the budget moved along fairly quickly.
And explain that to folks, because Delegate Steve Landis, our guest, explain that whole process. We do have a budget, but there's a whole lot of issues that remain to be resolved. And has it been exactly set when y'all might come back to talk about transportation? And what exactly will you talk about then?
Well, that's not been determined at this point, Coy. With the House and Senate, we'll have to get an agreement and with the governor when that should be. A lot of, I think, House members and even some senators I've talked to would like to see us come back after Labor Day, if you will. But before we get to that point, there does need to be some discussion. Committees could meet, whether it's House Finance, Senate Finance, Appropriations, or the Transportation Committees that would deal with relevant legislation. But first of all, we've got to set a time when we're going to go back in full session. And hopefully this next month, the House and Senate leadership will get a date or a week or two when we'll be back in session. And then that will allow individuals who have ideas for legislation, whether it's taxes or just other transportation reform items, can put those forward, and the committees can start working on those as soon as we get a specific date. And I know that's in the works, and that process is moving forward.
Delegate Steve Landis, our guest. And Steve, I just want to clear up something for me. I know that, let's see, the governor wanted to raise fees, penalties for, you know, bad drivers, that kind of thing, but he also wanted to raise some taxes.
Right. The House, to be fair, the House had some proposals for raising some penalties like the governor for bad drivers.
Right, that's exactly where I was going next.
Yeah.
I just wanted folks to know that you guys weren't absolutely, we're not going to look at any ways of coming up with money for transportation. You were open to some creative new ideas.
That has been our position all along. And part of that, Coy, is if you're going to raise additional money, whether it's through fees or using part of the budget like the House or even using the possibility of bonding, using the state's bonding authority for transportation projects like we do for other capital projects, you've got to also look at reform in how that money is being spent. Part of the problem I think many of us, myself included in the House, have a little bit of a problem with is not that VDOT is not a well-intentioned organization and trying to do the best, but it's not working. The monies that we have need to be stretched farther, and we need to make sure they're being spent efficiently. And we're not, the House especially, and I think the legislative branch to a certain extent, is not confident that, if you will, that the department responsible for those expenditures is doing things as cost-effective and as efficient as possible. I think part of that is the organization. Right now, we don't have a commissioner of transportation. That would help, obviously, when the governor selects that person. But really, in the last 20 years, we've not looked at the structure of how we do business with transportation from the standpoint of those expenditures. And a lot of reform could be done in looking at the structure and then also how the dollars are spent and hopefully, in my opinion, decentralizing some of that. I think in the last 20 years there's been more centralization and having every power vested in Richmond. I think a lot of us would like to see it decentralized back to the district level or a regional level because how we want to spend dollars for transportation in Northern Virginia is going to be very different in Albemarle or Augusta County or Southwest Virginia or other parts of the state, and we need to realize that.
Delegate Steve Landis is our guest on Charlottesville Right Now. For that very reason, would you be one of the folks in the Assembly who might support some type of regional authorities so that, you know, if Tidewater wants another bridge or another tunnel, well, then they can raise their own money down there and do it themselves instead of taking money out of the pockets of folks in Augusta County or Charlottesville?
I want to look at that. I want to see legislation like that. I haven't committed totally to saying that's the solution, but I want to see approach like that coupled with allowing VDOT some more flexibility at the district level. I think there's too much power in Richmond. Every project has to go through Richmond and is centralized there, and I think that's a problem in getting things done in a quick manner, especially for certain size projects. So I would consider a regional approach. I have in the past, when I was in the legislature the first couple years, voted for the tax referendum for Northern Virginia for them to look at helping to solve their own problems related to additional dollars. Obviously, they voted that down. They did in Hampton Roads as well. So I'd have to think about that long and hard because they didn't seem to want to do that before, but the pressure may be there now for the citizens take that and really look at that as a possibility. And I think that needs to be at least part of the discussion for the solution that we have towards transportation.
We're talking with Delegate Steve Landis in Augusta County. And Steve, just to get back to you're talking about VDOT. Isn't VDOT a big holdover from the 30s? Wasn't it set up one of those big, you know, huge statewide bureaucracies set up in the 30s?
You're exactly right. I mean, when it was created, that was a big reform. Before that, localities were responsible for roads. The state really didn't have a significant role. I know a little bit about it from the standpoint, when I was growing up a teenager, my dad served on what was then the Highway and Transportation Commission, which then became the Commonwealth Transportation Board in 1986 with the last special session we had for transportation. But the problem is, in my estimation, is as the agency has grown, there's some 9,000 people that are employed by VDOT to work for transportation-related issues on the highways. I think that if we looked at the structure and looked at putting more of the resources, if you will, at the district level, and then maybe if we look at a new regional basis, especially for the key areas that are having the most problems. Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, maybe a couple other areas. For instance, I would think we ought to look at the 81 corridor. We could even look at the 29 corridor to look at solving those solutions, because they're huge transportation important networks for the state, but also for regions. Then couple that with decentralizing some of the authority, if we have to, I'm not sure that laying off people would be the best way, but reassigning those people so that engineers, the people that do all the work from a planning standpoint who are in Richmond, would be moved out to the district, so that the district administrators, the members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board that represent those areas, and legislators and local elected officials had more say, if you will, in what's going on and making sure those dollars were going where they need to. That works at the secondary road level fairly well now, with local governments making the determination where those dollars will be spent. But when you look at primary roads, interstate highways, that's all in the Commonwealth Transportation Board, and it's all centralized in Richmond. And, of course, governors like that because they appoint those people. But I think the legislature and local governments, if we're looking at regional or district levels, need to have more say, because they have a big especially local governments have a big impact on the state government's responsibility for transportation.
Along with that, it might help to take those planning decisions also away from Richmond and down to the regional and local level, so that you can decide, so that, say, you know, Augusta County could say, we want a road there, we need a road there, and we don't need a neighborhood there. We need a road there and a mall versus a neighborhood.
Well, and as you know, when local governments make determinations, whether it's a development or a mall or when they build a water and sewer line, naturally you think that development's going to occur and transportation arteries are going to need to occur at those areas. But what happens is local governments make those determinations, and then the state has to come back and be responsible for those roads, once, especially in counties, once they're developed. It's a little bit different, obviously, in cities, because we provide them maintenance money to take care of existing and new road structures. But in the counties, it's the state's responsibility to take care of that without any basic input in how that's going to occur and where it's going to occur. Now, we don't want to take power away from local governments, but there's got to be better coordination there and more thought in that planning process, as you mentioned, before a development occurs, to make sure that the money's there for the roads that need to be built to handle those new developments and that new expansion.
Delegate Steve Landis, our guest. Just to change gears here, Steve, yesterday we had a guy in from, his name escapes me, but he was from United Way, and he's the guy that oversees the program that didn't get funding as a result of the recent budget. I think Governor Kane had an amendment in there specifically for this program in Charlottesville that helps working families stay out of welfare. It sort of helps
good
them.
Good program.
Yes, it looks like it is. It looks like it's one of those ones that really works.
Right. The issue, I think, from my standpoint, is not so much, I think there were a lot of us that thought the idea of trying to get money to provide assistance, basically a bridge, if you will. The problem they've gotten into is they can't utilize the federal money unless they get state monies to match, so they can continue the program at the level it is now. The problem that we were faced when we got to Richmond with the amendments that the governor proposed, it sounded very plausible to me until I actually looked at the language. And then after talking, I'm a member of the House Appropriations Committee, there's a what we call Part 4 of the budget that lays out, as just the state code does, related to what we can spend dollar amounts on. And the governor is very limited in what he can do related to end-of-year balances, and that's what the governor's amendment would have done. It's contrary to what we call Part 5 of the state budget is, from a precedent standpoint, and also what has been practiced in the past. So it would be in violation of basically the law through the Appropriations Act. I did not realize that until we got there, but our staff told us that they didn't advise us to support that amendment because it would be problematic. And it's also a little bit of an issue, and has been in the past, between the executive and the legislative branch. Obviously, the legislative branch likes to hold its powers fairly, keep those as much as possible, and not
relinquish
any power to the executive branch vis-a-vis the separation of power.
Right. So if it was a if it's a good program that didn't get the money because of a technicality, would you like to see it get the money at some point for this program?
I would, and I think there's a way for the governor to do it other than what he had proposed. Now, I'm not an attorney, but the attorneys are debating on whether he was authorized through that amendment to do it or not from the standpoint of whether that was an end-of-year balance or that was a one-time expenditure. And I have to go with the best advice from the staff that we hire to advise us and take their advice on those issues. They've been involved in that process, all of them, much longer than I have. And our attorneys advised us, the attorneys that work for the legislature, that it was unconstitutional. But I think there's a way for the governor, if he structures the monies, if you will, using or shifting funds in the Department of Social Services from one thing to another, that he could still do that. And I would be supportive of that to keep that program running. You know, it's really a shame when there's an issue like this that I think most people support, would like to see happen, but we can't bend the rules. I mean, if you bend the rules, then that sets a precedent that another governor will come back and say, well, you've already said I can do this, so I'll do this in this case. And it may be something even more important or even more controversial. So that's why it was an important issue. It was similar to the issue that the House took related to those taxes being embedded into the budget. We've tried to be very careful to follow past precedent, but also the letter of what the current law is and the practice has been to keep those separation of powers very very strict and follow them very closely.
Great. Steve, I appreciate you taking time. I've enjoyed it and look forward to the opportunity to have you back on the program, and have a great summer.
You too. Thanks very much for including me this afternoon.
Absolutely. Delegate Steve Landis, and you can hear this interview in its entirety archived at cvillepodcast.com. Quick break. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.